Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine. We're on episode 310. Hello. Yes, we're back. I had to take a week off. I needed a mental health break. Past couple of days was trying on your girl, but we are here. One thing about me, I'll have my little temper or emotional breakdown, temper, tantrum, whatever the case may be, and then I'm over it. And then I'm like, okay, well, everything's gonna work out for me. Maybe it's my faith, maybe it's just the way that I'm rooted, but I eventually get back up again. Shout out to Donnie McClurkin. So that's where I'm at. I'm back up again, and I always figure things out. So with that being said, things are in the horizon. I'm speaking that into existence, but I do feel like just greater things are on the way as far as just getting a hand over the stressors, specifically the financial stressors in my life. I just had to add up the numbers of my car repair payments and what that would look like if I were to go through with that. And that just put me in a whole turmoil that just, because you know how you're so close to a goal and you're like, oh my gosh, yay. I'm like this close to paying off my car, but now I'm at a point where I'm going to have to get a new car. And what? So that may be happening. Who knows? I may be getting a financial coach who I've been wanting to obtain for a while now. I was talking on my Instagram a second ago. I was like, you know how you get so overwhelmed financially and you feel like you just, this bill comes in, this sudden expense come about, and you're just so overwhelmed that you just start to spend your money foolishly. I know it's so counterproductive, but that's how I think sometimes. Like whenever I know I have a big expense to make that I would love to make for other things, for fun things, but I have to put that money towards my car repairs, I'm just like, you know what? F it. I'm just going to go to Peru. I'm going to go to Brazil. Is it Brazil? But I'm going to go Belize, my bad, Brazil, what the hell? I'm going to go on a vacation. I don't care. And it's like, girl, what? You have to spend $5,000 on your car repair. So anyway, I got out of that headspace, but that's literally how I think. So yeah, I'm inquiring about getting a financial coach. There's something that I just need to kind of get through. So we'll see how that goes. I'm hoping for much success in that path. But let's go ahead and continue with this episode and let's get started. Hello. Let's get into it. Shout out to y'all. If you are listening and you have yet to subscribe, at this point, you're a hater. Hello? At this point, you're a hater and what's going on? The energy needs to be fixed. And yes, I'm here wearing a robe and I'm looking super cozy, but this was a poor choice for me to do because whenever I start talking, my body gets hot. So we'll see how long I'll be in this robe. Okay, so OJ. So my condolences to Khloe Kardashian. I know it's difficult losing a father, and I just can't imagine. I just had to. But no, RIP to him, to that man. He's not black. He's OJ. You know, with any passing, especially of a high figure, of a very controversial figure as OJ Simpson was, it is in poor taste whenever I see particular personalities on TV or online take this opportunity to bash this recent passing. And they just tear down his character. And I just feel like, regardless of what we all know him for, regardless of where you stand in the trial that was the OJ trial, and whether he deserved the innocent verdict or not guilty verdict, I should say, or not, I still feel like respect should be had for at least the ones who recently passed. It's one thing to have your harsh critique a month later. Give it a month. Even that is too short, but give it some time. It's the day of, and you hear Mark Lamont Hill's ass just going in on OJ Simpson. You hear Stephen A. Smith going in on OJ Simpson. I'm just like, my God, today, like, don't you have no shame? Like, have you no shame? I feel like this is just something that should not be said or spoken of, you know, like, say, you know, rest in peace to that man. You may like him, you may not. He was a controversial figure, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, my condolences goes to his family. I think at the very least, that should be what should have been said. But instead, he's just going in on how he was just perceived, how he should have just, he's just tearing him down. And I just feel like that's just not right. I'm trying to find the clip for it. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of people took this opportunity to go in on him, and I just didn't feel like that was appropriate at all. So apparently, OJ had been struggling health-wise for some time now. I believe he passed due to cancer, and it just eventually took his life. He passed away at the age of 76, and it was, I think it was a peaceful passing. From what I heard, is he was surrounded by his family, his loved ones, and admitted to doing the murders. Okay, I had to. Okay, but what do y'all feel? How do y'all feel about it? Like, okay, do y'all think he did it? Y'all think he did it? I've been watching that. It was a mini series starring Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba. He did his thing. Like, he deserved all of the awards for playing OJ in that miniseries. Honestly, everyone did. The lawyer, not just Johnny Cochran, the prosecutor, she deserves an award, all the awards for her role there. Everyone did a magnificent job. The casting was superb. I was just so impressed, And I was taken aback because, you know, if you remember during that time, it was very intense racially. A lot of division was had, especially with that pivotal moment of Rodney King being beaten like a pig, like an animal, by white cops. The optics look horrible, and not soon afterwards, he was crying on TV talking about we should forgive each other, we should come together, yada, yada, yada. And look, I'm not necessarily here for division, but I just felt like he was the wrong messenger. And it made me wonder if he was paid for the beating that he endured. Because even though the case with Rodney King, he did not get his just due in the courthouse. I wonder if there was some under the table negotiations or settlement had for him to come on TV with his bruised ass face to blame for with his bruised face, and the ones to blame for that are these white cops. And he's coming on TV talking about, we should love each other. We should, like, if you don't get the fuck out of my face, Rodney King. Rodney King. Hold on. Is he still around? I think he passed. I remember looking into him long ago. Yeah, he passed in 2012. Ooh, yeah. How 47, super young. That's really sad. But yeah, he was on TV talking about, we should forgive each other. Think of what? So look, again, I'm not here trying to incite any type of race riot. I don't feel like that is the proper response. I think ultimately we're better together, regardless of our color, regardless of our socioeconomic background, we're better together than we are apart. So this whole racial division that's being had, it is due to a larger plan, a larger agenda that a lot of us may not be familiar with. So let me go ahead and play this clip real quick and see if it is the one that I am referring to regarding Rodney King talking about, we should forgive each other. Like, nigga, if you don't get the fuck out of my face.
At least 27 people are now dead since it all began following the acquittal of four police officers in the Rodney King beating trial.
On Friday, May 1st, there were still a lot of hot spots, but the authorities were better organized. And my assignment was, we got word that Rodney was going to make a statement. An enormous assemblage of media gathered around this yard area, around this podium, because we hadn't heard from him.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we
now?
Can we get along?
Initially, that wasn't.
Like, are you okay? Hold on, I'm gonna have to take this off. I'm getting hot. Hold on, I'll be right back, y'all, real quick. And then we're back. So, right, Rodney King showed his ass trying to appease white folks by saying, hey, look, black people, I know what happened to me was fucked up. I know what happened to me was fucked up. But please, please, please don't fight back. Please just forgive them. Like, what?
What he was supposed to say, he was given a script to read. He felt it was necessary to just speak from his heart.
Please, we can get along here. We all can get along. We just gotta, you know, I mean, we're all stuck here for a while. Let's try to work it out.
I've always been very proud of him.
Okay, even that white guy behind him was looking at him like, you know what they did to you? Let's go back real quick. You see that? This man right here. And if you are watching the YouTube video, you are seeing what I am saying. This man right here, like, Ronnie, what the hell? But anyway, this was all during this time. So the OJ trial, regardless if people believed he either was directly responsible or behind the scenes responsible for those two murders, it was still necessary at this time for this win, quote unquote, to happen on behalf of OJ. Like, and it'll be on behalf of the black community. It'll be finally like, oh, okay, finally, black people win something. Even if he did it, even if he was responsible in some way, this was a fight for our lives. This was a fight because for so long, black people have been brutalized by the police time and time again. And with this Rodney King situation that just recently took place during this time, everyone was on edge and was wanting and begging for OJ to get off. And that's what he did. He got off. He was found not guilty. And there's a difference here. You know, let's talk about that. What is the difference between guilty and, sorry, not guilty and innocent? I think it just simply means if you are found not guilty, that means there was insufficient evidence to prove that you are guilty of this charge. So it says here, a not guilty verdict does not mean that the defendant is innocent, but rather that the prosecution has not met its burden of proving guilt. Innocent, on the other hand, refers to the actual state of the defendant. It means that the defendant did not commit the crime they are being accused of. So that's pretty clear that these are the differences between the two. And OJ, I don't think he did it. I don't. And maybe because maybe a little bit of me was like, I don't even want to believe it. Or because wasn't it proven that he wasn't even there in that area, or even like he was a flight away when the murders took place? And I'm just trying to recall. I'm trying to recall that miniseries starring Cuba Gooding Jr. I remember Cuba getting a call as he was playing OJ. He was getting a call. He was at a hotel. And in that call, he received the news about the passing, the murder of his ex-wife, or his wife at the time. So I don't think he physically did. He couldn't have, like, it was impossible for him to have physically done so. But my theory is his son did it. Because apparently his son had been struggling with his mental health, and he has had a history of violence. And there was a hat. Hold on. There was a TikTok that I saw recently. OJ Simpson son did the murders. There was a TikTok that I saw, and he explained how the same hat that OJ Simpson's son wore was the hat that was found, basically pinning both of them together. And OJ did not want to throw his son under the bus, so I'm just gonna not bring it up. So that's the theory here. I want to play this clip real quick. Let's see what she says.
OJ Simpson is guilty. Recently, it was brought to, so I've always been like 100% team OJ Simpson is guilty. Recently, it was brought to my attention to check out his son, Jason. Here's what I found. Prior to the killings, Jason was diagnosed with intermittent rage disorder. He had stopped taking his medication 2 months before the murders. He wrote a note in which he talked about killing anyone who hurt a loved one of his. In his past, Jason had nearly killed a girlfriend and seriously injured another. At the time of the murders, he was on probation for attacking his boss with a knife. He has no alibi that can be supported as to where he was during the murders. His time card for work that night was handwritten, even though the electric clock was working. A black navy watch cap with animal fur on it was found at the crime scene. Photographs obtained from Jason's storage locker show that he wore them often, and that he had a dog. In this locker was also a knife that matched the description. Yeah, of what
that's what I'm referring to. Apparently OJ Simpson's son, I don't know his name, I think he's a junior, I think so. So apparently he wore this hat all the time, and he had a dog. And of course, the dog's fur was all over his clothes as well as his hat. And these articles and these pieces of evidence was found at the scene of the crime.
What was used for the murders. He had field knife training from the Navy Academy. The day after the murders, OJ hired a top criminal attorney to defend Jason, although he wasn't a suspect. Police never even tested the fingerprints found at the scene or the DNA under Nicole's fingernails against Jason. After hearing all this, what do you guys think? So I've always been like...
So there we have it. His son did it. Period. So, I mean, who knows? And apparently, allegedly, there are about 30 people from that area who lived in that proximity, whether they were all like close neighbors, neighbor friends, or they were all connected in some way. Apparently 30 people know what happened. And it just has been a secret. It has been a well-kept secret this whole time. And at this point, not to say it doesn't matter, because of course two lives were lost. So of course it matters, but I think sometimes people feel like, well, what can be done now? What can be done now? Nothing. So let's just move on. But let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner decided to come out her ass and talk about OJ and say good riddance in regards to OJ passing. Caitlyn Jenner said good riddance. Huh. That's interesting. Because Caitlyn Jenner should be saying good riddance to the people she killed in the manslaughter case that took place not too long ago. So let's talk about that. Man, I can't believe she did all of that to herself. But hey, transgender, whatever, that's fine, I guess. I'm trying to grow. Caitlyn Jenner paid $800,000 in settlement money for the 2015 fatal, meaning someone died, fatal car crash. The former Olympian did not face criminal charges. Prosecutors decided not to charge Caitlyn Jenner with vehicular manslaughter for a fatal car crash that left one woman dead. I wonder why prosecutors did not decide to charge her. Like, what the heck happened? Was she under the influence? Was she, like, what took place that led to this vehicular manslaughter situation? Jenner struck a car that slammed into a vehicle in which five family members had been riding. And this included a musician, his wife, their two children, and the mother of those, someone else who happens to be a mother. And there were no criminal charges had. Like, that was that. It was just a settlement of $800,000 despite someone's life being taken from this vehicular homicide. That's what it was. So Caitlyn Jenner being conveniently obtuse and insensitive during this time, I want her to shut the fuck up. I want her to shut the fuck up and say, hey, how about good riddance to you and what you did in this car crash? Did you say good riddance to yourself? Did you say good riddance to yourself? Okay. That's crap. So crap. I just feel like, again, people have no couth. No couth at all when it comes to passing. Even when Kobe passed, I remember this like spiritual guru person I used to follow. I used to follow her on Instagram. I was like, it's so funny how, like, I've gone through seasons of following certain people on Instagram, and now I totally don't know where they are because I've since unfollowed them. It's like my spirit just suddenly felt the need to just move forward from that season in life when I thought I needed, or maybe I did need it. I think I did need it at that time, but eventually you grow and you realize, okay, this person's full of shit, or this doesn't serve me anymore type of thing. I used to follow a lot of astrologers, spiritual gurus, talk to your ancestors type of people online, and felt so connected with whatever they were saying. I was tuned in. Every live that they had on Instagram, I remember this woman, I forget her name. She had a very catchy name. I don't know why, but her face is in my, I remember her face. She, I think your spiritual pastor, you're something. Anyway, so your sex pastor, because she will always talk about how pleasure should be a part of the woman's identity. And she grew up in a very strict upbringing that did not encourage women to be pleasurable beings, to be sensual, yada, yada, yada. So she will often talk about how pleasure should be at the center of a woman's spiritual identity. And I connected with that. I was like, okay, I like this. I like to masturbate too. Like, you know. But anyway, so she's got a little too kooky for me. Every little shadow she saw, she thought it was an ancestor. Like, girl, it's just a light. It's a reflection. It's just science. Some things are not always this like kooky, woopy, woogly, woogly explanation. That's just me. That's just me. No offense. But anyway, I remember she talked about Kobe as soon as he passed, she talked about him and she was like, it was an awful person. He, you know, coerced that woman. Remember when he made that whole apology and gave his wife a like 100-carat diamond ring? But that whole situation, I think he was found not guilty, but this woman decided to, this the spiritual guru who I used to follow decided to just harp on that, but she did it. And that's what made me turn myself off from her, because it just felt clout chasey. Like, how can I garner more engagement? How can I garner more people to my channel, to my profile, to my lives? I'm going to say something salacious, something outrageous. And that's what happened. A lot of people were commenting and saying they were triggered and getting these conversations, just going back and forth. It just got too toxic. Yeah, that's why I unfollowed her. She got too crazy for me. Like, girl, are you okay? Like, why are you always talking about stuff like this? Like, girl, go take a walk. Anyway, God bless her. But anyway, that's just an example again of how sometimes people will use sensitive moments to garner engagement and fail to recognize the damaging effect in their words, in their delivery, in their news coverage. So it's just pew, pew, pew. Very shameful for people to do that. And I just don't approve. I do not approve. Speaking of what I don't approve, let's talk about this J-Lo situation. I talked about it in our last episode. Now there's a continuation of it. So let's get into it. So J-Lo has been, like I said before, getting a lot of, is it slack or flack? What's the difference between flack and slack? Child, I'll be out talking like I don't have any. Okay, definitely not flag. That means a public. Okay. She's been getting a lot of slack lately for her portrayal of being Jenny from the block. I'm this hood girl. I'm just a Bronx girl. Southside Bronx. And trying to seem like she's just she's an around the way girl. And look, we can't take away her upbringing, but ma'am, you've been rich and far removed from the Southside Bronx for 40 years. 40 years. I need you to stop. I need you to stop. Like, no one is like, oh, you're so rugged and oh, you're so... J-Lo! Girl, relax. And so she's been getting a lot of slack for that. There was a clip of her talking about how whenever she goes to the bodega, she always gets a specific order, an orange drink. And she said, if you know, you know. Like, girl, what? And everyone from that area talking about, we don't know. That's not a real thing. Like, and maybe it was while J-Lo was growing up, but it just made, she actually made the order in live time like a year or two ago, whenever that documentary was filmed, and did it at the bodega right at that moment. It's not like we're watching an old clip and we're analyzing it. No, this was something that was done recently. So people are saying she is being completely disingenuous. She's not from the Bronx. She's not, I mean, she is from the Bronx, but she's not this like, oh, you know, rags to riches. Apparently the home that she grew up in was pretty well to do for the circumstances. Houses in the Bronx during that time were not plentiful, were not in abundance. She had plenty of space. She had a whole house to herself. She was in this small room. She had space. So this idea of J-Lo being rags to riches is not completely true, according to a lot of people who allegedly grew up with her. Anyway, going on to this recent news, J-Lo is now blamed for TikToker's death after monetized account was banned for using copyrighted footage of J-Lo. Yes, it's just so much to unpack here. So J-Lo got upset. Well, who knows if she got upset directly. I'm sure she did. But nonetheless, her team, she has a whole camp. It's not like J-Lo is the one going after this TikToker and finding the loopholes to ban her from, you know, like, I don't think J-Lo has time to do that. But she sure does have time to let her assistant know. Her assistant will then let her publicist know. Her publicist will then let her tech guy know. Like, there's a team for J-Lo who would cover such situations. So because of this, J-Lo is still being blamed here, and she is now at the center of this controversy. So according to this, it says here, Jennifer Lopez is at the center of more controversy after she is now being blamed for a TikToker's death. She got this TikToker's video and her whole profile demonetized after using copyrighted footage of J-Lo. And here's the thing with copyrighted footage. You cannot use footage that is not given consent or any level of permission for you to use. If it's copyrighted, it's best to stay away from using it on any platform that is not of the original platform. So regardless of however you feel about J-Lo, I do have to call a spade and say she's not wrong here. And unfortunately, yes, someone died, but it's not because J-Lo was like, oh, I'm going to make sure this person dies and be sure that this happens in result of the banning of this TikTok page. No, people are putting two and two together because the woman who created this TikTok playlist about J-Lo using copyrighted footage, she apparently was going through colon cancer, and she was using the money from her TikTok account that was being monetized because she had a strong following, strong engagement, yada, yada, yada. Apparently, she was using that money to pay her medical bills as she was enduring colon cancer. Now, see, I was like a lot of, and then this and then that, and this, this, and that. It's like, okay, girl, what? I think it just so happens that she's using her TikTok money to help support herself medically. But you mean to tell me that she wasn't also using other sources of income? From what I'm hearing, TikTok is not as profitable as one may assume. And with the economy that we're in, I'm sure she has multiple streams of income. So regardless of J-Lo being responsible of this TikToker's page being banned and demonetized, it's not J-Lo's fault she's now dead. Like, let's cut it out. Like, this is so silly and childish, and I think it's just so awfully convenient that people like to find blame. Like, oh, this Oh, because she didn't make her payment, she couldn't get the medicine, and now she's dead. She just suddenly died. No, I think it probably was her time to die. I'm saying this in love. I think it probably was just time for her to wrap it up. You know, God bless.
Rob me of everything. And if I die of colon cancer, it's on her.
This is what Kyle Marissa had to say about J-Lo just 2 weeks ago, which would have been exactly 1 week before she passed away. I was stunned to hear this, and I thought you guys would be too. Roll the clip.
This article was published in Forbes yesterday, March 31st, featuring me. TikTok creator Kyle Marissa said that her account had received copyright strikes on every single video that contained footage from The Greatest Love Story Never Told. As a result, her account is now permanent banned. J-Lo's narcissism single-handedly crushed the main portion of my small business, Kyle Marissa said. I didn't even have the opportunity to download or save 4 years worth of my content that had been...
Okay, I don't like going through this. Anyway, the point is, she's no longer with us. May she rest in peace. But I feel like, look, if she didn't spend all her energy going in on J-Lo, someone who she doesn't even know, someone who has no bearing on her life, maybe the result would have been differently. You know, maybe the result would have been different. Maybe she wouldn't be in this. I'm not trying to blame her for her death, but what I'm saying is maybe she put her sole focus on her health and find other avenues to expend her energy, maybe her account wouldn't be banned. Or maybe, simply put, she wouldn't, had she not used copyrighted footage of J-Lo, this probably wouldn't have happened. Her TikTok page wouldn't have happened. Who's to say she wouldn't have passed away at 3 months from now, despite her page still being open? Like, you don't know how cancer could hit you. It could simply have been her time. It could have simply taken over her body and led to her demise at some point or another. So this idea of like J-Lo suddenly being the sole responsible person for her death, I just feel like it's so lazy. It's lazy. It's insensitive. It's silly. Okay, and I don't really like J-Lo like that, but come on, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Okay, let's move forward. Let's talk about SVU. So shout out to Law and Order SVU. I have been watching this show forever, okay? This show gets me every time. I love the content. I love everything about it. I feel like if I was going through, God forbid, anything related to SVU, I would want to speak to Mariska Hargitay, aka Olivia Benson. She's a cop for real. Like, she's a real life cop. Like, I don't believe anybody else. I don't care. I want to talk to her directly. She is so caring. She plays her role really, really well. Anyway, a real person thought she was, in fact, a cop. So as Mariska Hargitay was playing her role as detective, actually she's sergeant, so they need to correct this because she's no longer detective. She's Sergeant Olivia Benson on Law and Order Special Victims Unit. She ended up helping a lost child who mistook her for a real police officer. And she ended up helping her so much so that she was able to reunite this lost child with her mother. It's so hilarious. So according to this report, while shooting SVU on April 10th, Hargitay halted production and was at this park, which is probably the same park that they always film at in New York. And she was at this park for 20 minutes helping a lost child who approached her while Mariska was in her costume, like while she was wearing her typical role costume for her role as Sergeant Olivia Benson. And this lost child came up to her and was like, "I'm lost. I don't know where my mommy is." And this adorable photo of Mariska holding this child, looking deeply in her eyes. Like, this is a scene from the show. At this point, they should have kept filming and added that into the upcoming episode. And I just wanted to add that little fun little news because I love SVU and I love Olivia Benson. So shout out to her. Hopefully I won't ever need to call her for anything because child, no. Anyway, let's move forward. Okay, Texas is going through some sex trafficking ring situation. A Texas teacher and her son were charged with sex trafficking. My God, today. Okay? And this took place in a public school system called Klein ISD. So that's an independent school district. And this teacher, she is a Black woman who has a Black son. She allegedly groomed runaways into a prostitution ring, according to the search warrant. This search warrant is 13 pages long. It reveals new details regarding the shocking case and how she is accused of running a prostitution ring with her son. So this is a family business. I mean, at this point, I think it's just the economy that we should be mad at. Why are we going through such large lengths, just these criminal acts, just to get on by in this society that we're in? It's because it's so damn expensive to live here. Even in Texas, considering the circumstances. So I'm assuming she is a single mother and she's been trying her best to stay afloat and she's already a teacher. So she's probably not getting paid that much. Who knows if she has other streams of income? Well, obviously she did with this prostitution ring. So maybe that brought in some money. Nonetheless, I was watching a video on YouTube called America Now, I think it's called. It's hosted by Lisa Ling, this Asian woman who used to be on The View. I remember her from there. And she does these like documentaries, and all these documentary episodes focus on different parts of America, things that we should be aware of, things that we probably already know, wonderings, questions that we may have, yada, yada, yada. This video that I watched in particular talked about how sex trafficking is just rampant throughout America. And she focused in D.C. And for the irony being, who would think D.C. will be polluted with prostitution and pimps and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, look, it's a disturbing truth, but it's not surprising. Everyone knows a prostitute. What are we talking about right now? Everyone knows someone who's been sex trafficked or prostituted out. Hello? Is it just me? I knew this my whole life. I don't know if it's still big on prostitution, but growing up in Boston, if you're a Bostonian, you know. Blue Hill Avenue. There's actually a movie called Blue Hill Ave starring Alan Payne, who I met because I saw him at one of his plays while I was in college in Connecticut, and I took a picture with him. I have that photo in my home in Boston. But nonetheless, Blue Hill Avenue is known for prostitutes, okay? And living here in Houston, I know Bissonnette Street is known for prostitutes. So this idea of like, oh my God, like prostitution has been around for the day of days, from the beginning of days. Like this was introduced into our lexicon from the very beginning. This is the oldest trick in the book, the oldest job you could have. Like this is a very historical job. So this idea of like, oh my God, sex trafficking is running rampant. It's been here. What are we saying? Jesus has been known of, like he's been around when he was physically here on earth. Hello? Mary Magdalene? Like, I don't know. And I'm not saying this to say to condone prostitution, to encourage it. No. But I think, you know, again, if you've been listening to me for a while now, you know that I don't like to talk about the obvious. Because, yes, okay, obviously she shouldn't, this teacher shouldn't be prostituting her kids, her students. Her son should not be a part of it. And like, this shouldn't be happening, yada, yada, yada. But let's talk about the bigger picture here. Why is this a rampant thing happening? Why? Because it's expensive to be me. Shout out to Erica Jane. No, but it's expensive to live here. It's expensive to have the life of your desire. You know, people want to thrive. People want to do more than just survive in this world. And unfortunately, that leads to some people doing criminal things or doing things that are immoral to some people. Hello? Can we talk? Can we talk for a second? I'm just saying, not every woman who is prostituting is doing so because there's a gun to her head. I know. Let me say it again. I don't think you heard me. Hello? Not every woman who is out here selling her body is doing so because she is a victim. Like, with this society that we've been in and the social media that has been taking over the way we communicate, the way we sell, the way we promote ourselves, the way businesses are had, there is a glamorization of prostitution. You don't have to be on the streets. You could just go on OnlyFans and figure it out. You could go on Instagram and go to a certain hashtag. You'll see soft porn. Same with Twitter. You'll see hardcore fucking. People are fucking on Twitter. Hello? Now, look, I'm not saying this should be happening for children, minors. Not at all. Not at all. Nor should this be a case for those who are of age and who don't want this for themselves, but they're found in a situation where it's hard to get out. I'm not condoning that at all. But what I'm saying is, it's expensive to live. I'm saying it's expensive to be me. Shout out to that song, stupid song. Okay, her name is Kendra M. Grigsby, 42 years old, charged with 3 counts, each of compelling prostitution of someone under 18 and sex trafficking a child. She was arrested inside her classroom on Monday and her phone was seized. How embarrassing. They could have not in her classroom. A newly released search warrant details an alleged mother-son ring and the horror the trafficking victims felt trapped in. One mother told investigators her 18-year-old daughter was groomed and held against her will at Grigsby's home. She said her daughter endured beatings for 6 months and that she believed Grigsby recruited as many as 8 girls from her job at Klein Kane High School to work for her and her son, Roger McGee. The warrant also said the teen called Grigsby stepmom. So that definitely shows how she was groomed. And she was probably groomed enough to believe that this is her family and they're just working a job and this is all right, yada, yada, yada. And yes, this girl was 18. At least that's what they're telling us right now. But if she was groomed, that means that this took place prior to her turning 18. Definitely, because you don't just become a prostitute. There's a history of grooming that takes place if you started out young in particular. So she was charged. The son was charged and arrested after another teen, a runaway, made an outcry to the sheriff's office deputies and said she was being trafficked for sex. She told deputies McGee was her pimp. So the teacher here, Kendra Grigsby, I guess she was the madame. Her son was the pimp, and they had their hoes. I mean, this is what it is. And it's horrible. It's awful. Yada, yada, yada. All of that is true. Don't get me wrong. Children should not be trafficked at all in any capacity. Sex trafficked, organ trafficked, all of that. But, I mean, no, period, period. It ends there. Now, starting my new sentence. My new sentence is, are we surprised that this is a rampant thing in our society? In the world, really? But let's just really focus on America, because I don't have time to talk about what's going on in Palestine. But the point is, people are doing whatever it takes to get, not just get by in this world, but to thrive, to have experiences that are of luxury, because it's so damn hard to do it the quote unquote right way. Imagine living a moral life and still not getting by, still not making rent, still not making all your expenses for the month, all the bills for the month, while you have a neighbor who is clearly a hoe, clearly selling drugs, doing everything that you was told not to do when you was growing up. But this person is doing it, and they're living the life of your dreams. They're traveling. They have a nice car. They always have their hair done. It's hot. It's expensive. It's expensive, dead ass. Look, again, I'm not trying to condone it, but look at me. I'm here working every single day of my life. I'm working every single day. I'm working every single day. I don't know how sustainable this is. I'm just trying to focus on my why and my goals. I do appreciate the additional stream of income that is steady for me. And honestly, I'm not even at the point, my mentor, we was talking and she was telling me about this other opportunity that may be something I could be interested in doing. It's just an additional stream of income. So that would be a third job. If that were to come in fruition, the communication style with whoever is running that other job is just like poor as fuck. Like, girl, what? But anyway, nonetheless, people are pimping each other. And I'm not surprised. I'm not necessarily mad at it, but I understand. Okay? I understand. I don't condone it. I don't condone it. But I understand. Anyway, Grigsby remains in the Harris County Jail on a $750,000 bond. Of course, she got fired from her school job. The school left a statement, and parents at the school said they are disgusted, yada, yada, yada. Pay attention to your kids. Like, how do you not catch your kid being involved in such a thing? So let me go ahead and just play this real quick, because it is shocking that such a thing could have taken place at a school. 8 girls were recruited and working for her. Like, what? But who's to blame here? Where are the parents?
Against a Klein Kane high school teacher.
She is accused of trafficking students along with her son. ABC 13's Jessica Willey is live with the facts we have so far about this troubling case. Jessica?
Yeah, we've learned this teacher was arrested just before 5 this evening at Klein Kane High School, taken to the district police.
You know what I thought she was going to say? I thought she was going to say she was just arrested right before her 5th period class today. Oh, imagine being arrested before your 5th period class. What? You had your lesson plan out, ready to teach this lesson, and they come in and arrest you? Girl, bye. Get me out.
Carbon and then brought here to the Harris County Jail. Sheriff Ed Gonzalez says so far there are three teen victims, ages 15, 16, and 17, all female students and runaways. He says more students have already come forward, though, saying she tried to recruit them as well into prostitution. Tonight, disturbing allegations against a Klein ISD teacher. Kedria Grigsby now charged with three counts of child trafficking and three counts of compelling prostitution. The 42-year-old, a cosmetology teacher at Klein Kane High School. According to Harris County Sheriff...
You know, I'm not even surprised. Why did I immediately assume that she was teaching a content class that's like English, history, math? They said cosmetology teacher. I could have told y'all she was having a sex trafficking business on the side. Girl, what? Anyway, God bless. Prayers to everyone involved. God bless. All right, ladies and gents, thank you so much for listening, and I will check in with you all next time. Peace.